Video detailed statistics about the large number of accidental deaths due to overdoses, suicide rates, and other challenges mortals faced post-Great War era, and how the Olympians had a duty to help. They were words Persephone had spoken, repackaged for his audience. What is this? Persephone wondered. Was this Hades' way of making fun of her? Her hands curled into fists in her lap. Then the video ended and the lights came up. Persephone was surprised to see Hades standing on the stage. His presence elicited cheers from the audience.
Days ago, an article was published in New Athens News. It was a scathing critique of my performance as a god, but among those angry words were suggestions on how I could be better. I don't imagine the woman who wrote it expected me to take those ideas to heart, but in spending time with her, I started to see things her way.
He paused to chuckle under his breath, as if recalling something they'd shared, and Persephone shivered.
I've never met anyone who was so passionate about how I was wrong, so I took her advice and initiated the Halcyon Project. As you move through the exhibit, it is my hope that Halcyon will serve as a flame in the dark for the lost.
The crowd erupted in applause, standing to honor the god. Even a few of the divine followed, including Hermes. It took Persephone a moment to rise to her feet. She was shocked by Hades' charity, but also wary. Was he only doing this to reverse the damage she'd done to his reputation? Was he trying to prove her wrong? Lexa shot Persephone a quizzical look. I know what you're thinking, Persephone said. She arched a brow.
And what am I thinking?
He didn't do this for me. He did this for his reputation.
Keep telling yourself that, Lexa grinned. I think he's besotted.
Besotted? You've been reading too many romance novels. Lexa walked toward the exhibit with the others at their table, but Persephone hung back, afraid to see more of the creation inspired by her. She couldn't explain her hesitation. Maybe it was because she knew she was in danger of falling for this god who her mother hated and who'd lured her into a contract she couldn't win. Maybe it was because he listened to her. Maybe it was because she had never felt more attracted to another person in her short, sheltered life. She wandered into the exhibit slowly. The space was dimmed, so the spotlight showed on the exhibits, which illustrated the plans and mission for the Halcyon Project. Persephone took her time and stopped at the center of the room to observe a small white model of the building. The card beside it stated it was Hades' design. It was not a modern building like she had expected. It looked like a country mansion nestled on 10 acres of lush land. She spent a long time roaming through the exhibit, reading every presentation, learning about the technology that would be incorporated into the facility. It was truly state of the art. By the time she left, people had already begun dancing. She caught sight of Lexa with Hermes and Aphrodite with Adonis. She was glad her coworker hadn't tried talking to her and had been keeping his distance from her at work. It took her a moment, but she realized she was searching for Hades. He was not among the dancers or those in attendance at the tables. She frowned and turned to find Sybil approaching.
Persephone, she smiled, and they hugged. You look beautiful.
So do you.
What do you think of the exhibit? Marvelous, isn't it?
It is. She couldn't deny it was everything she'd imagined and more.
I knew great things would come of your union, she said.
Our union? Persephone echoed slowly.
You and Hades.
Oh, we're not together,
perhaps not yet. But your colors, they're all tangled up. They have been since the night I met you.
Colors?
Your paths, Sybil said. You and Hades. It was destiny, woven by the fates.
Persephone wasn't sure what to say. Sybil was an oracle, so the words that came from her mouth were truth. But could it really be that she was fated to wed the god of the dead? The man her mother hated? Sybil frowned. Are you okay?
Persephone wasn't sure what to say.
I'm sorry. I should not have told you. I thought you would be happy.
I'm not unhappy, Persephone assured her. She couldn't finish her sentence. Tonight and the last few days were weighing on her, the emotions varying and intense. If she were destined to be with Hades, it explained her insatiable attraction to the god, and yet it complicated so many other things in her life. Will you excuse me? She headed for the bathroom. Once inside, safely alone, she took a few deep breaths, braced her hands on either side of the sink, and looked at herself in the mirror. She turned on the faucet, running cold water over her hands, and splashed her heated cheeks lightly, trying not to disturb her makeup. She patted her face dry and prepared to return to the floor when she heard an unfamiliar voice. So, you are Hades' little muse. The tone was rich, seductive, a voice that lured men and bewitched mortals. Aphrodite came into view behind her, and Persephone wasn't sure where the goddess had come from, but once she met her gaze, she found it hard to move. Aphrodite was beautiful, and Persephone got the feeling she had met this goddess before, though she knew that was impossible. Her eyes were the color of sea foam and framed by thick lashes, her skin like cream and her cheeks slightly flushed. Her lips were of a perfect fullness and pout. Yet, despite her beauty, there was something behind her expression, something that made Persephone think she was lonely and sad. Maybe what Lexa said was true, and Hephaestus didn't want her. I don't know what you're talking about, Persephone said. Oh, don't play coy. I saw the way you looked at him. He has always been handsome. I used to tell him all he would have to do is show his face, and his realm would fill with the willing and faithful.
That made Persephone feel a little sick. She didn't wish to discuss this with anyone, much less Aphrodite. Excuse me. She tried to step around Aphrodite, but the goddess stopped her.
But I am not finished speaking.
You misunderstand. I don't want to speak to you. The goddess of spring pushed past Aphrodite and left the bathroom, snatching a glass of champagne from a server and finding a spot to watch the dancers. She considered leaving. Jason had already agreed to pick Lexa up as she was planning to spend the night at his house. Just when she had decided to call the cab, she felt Hades approach. She straightened, preparing for his closeness, but did not turn to face him.
Anything to critique, Lady Persephone?
His voice rumbled low in his throat like a heady spell. No, she whispered, and looked to her right. She still couldn't see him, even in her peripheral. How long have you been planning the Halcyon project?
Not long.
It will be beautiful. She felt him lean closer. She was surprised when his fingers brushed along her shoulder, tracing the edge of the black applique. Now and then, he touched skin to skin, and she shivered.
A touch of darkness.
His fingers tracked down her arm and threaded through hers.
Dance with me.
She didn't pull away, and instead turned to face him. He never failed to take her breath away, but there was a gentleness to his face that made her heart hammer in her chest. All right. Eyes tracked them, curious and surprised, as Hades led her onto the floor. Persephone did her best to ignore the stares, and instead focused on the god beside her. He was so much taller, so much bigger, and when he turned to face her, she was reminded of how he'd touched her in his pool. His fingers remained twined with hers as the other hand landed on her hip. She didn't take her eyes from his as he drew her close, growling low under his breath as they moved together. He guided her, and each brush of their bodies inflamed her. For a while, neither of them spoke, and Persephone wondered if Hades found it hard to speak for the same reason she did. That was probably why she chose to fill the silence with her next comment. You should be dancing with Minthy.
Hades' lips thinned.
Would you prefer that I dance with her?
She's your date.
She is not my date. She is my assistant, as I have told you.
Your assistant doesn't arrive on your arm to a gala. His hold on her tightened, and she wondered if he was frustrated.
You are jealous.
I'm not jealous, she said. And she wasn't anymore. She was angry. He smirked at her denial, and she wanted to hit him. I will not be used, Hades. That wiped the smirk off his face.
When have I used you?
She didn't respond.
Answer, goddess.
Have you slept with her? It was the only question that mattered. He stopped dancing, and those who shared the floor with them did too, watching with obvious interest.
It sounds like you were requesting a game, goddess.
You want to play a game? She scoffed, stepping away from him. Now? He did not answer, and simply held out his hand for her to take. A few weeks ago, she would have hesitated, but tonight she'd had a few glasses of wine, her skin was hot, and this dress was uncomfortable. Besides, she wanted answers to her questions. She clasped his hand, and as his fingers closed over hers, he smiled wickedly before teleporting to the underworld. Chapter 18. A Touch of Passion. Hades appeared in his office where they'd played their game of rock, paper, scissors. A fire crackled in the hearth, but the heat wasn't necessary. Persephone was already an inferno from their dance, and that smile he'd offered just before they teleported hadn't helped. It had promised something sinful. Gods, would it ever be possible to control her body's reaction to him? She was terrible at resisting him, and maybe it was because the darkness in her responded to the darkness in him. Hades offered her wine, and she accepted a glass while he chose his usual whiskey. He lifted his gaze from his drink and asked,
"Hungry? You barely ate at the gala."
Persephone narrowed her eyes. "You were watching me?"
"Darling, don't pretend you weren't watching me. I know your gaze upon me like I know the weight of my horns."
Her cheeks colored. "No, I'm not hungry. Not for food, anyway." But she didn't say that out loud. He accepted this and walked to a table in front of the fireplace. It was like the one in Nevernight, and instead of sitting side by side, Hades and Persephone took up opposite ends. A single deck of cards waited. She never imagined that a few pieces of plastic would hold so much power. These cards could take or bestow riches. They could grant freedom or become the jailer. They could answer questions and strip away dignity. Hades took a sip from his glass and then set it down with an audible click, reaching for the cards. "The game?" Persephone asked.
"Poker," Hades replied.
He took the cards from the box and started to shuffle them, and the sound drew Persephone's attention, as did his graceful fingers. The air in the room grew thick and heavy, and she took a breath before asking, "The stakes?" Hades smiled.
"My favorite part. Tell me what you want."
1,000 things came to her at once, and all of them had to do with returning to the baths and finishing what they started. Finally, she said, "If I win, you answer my questions."
"Deal."
When he finished shuffling the cards, he added,
"If I win, I want your clothes."
"You want to undress me?" she asked. He chuckled.
"Darling, that's only the start of what I want to do to you."
She cleared her throat. "Is one win equal to a piece of clothing?"
"Yes."
He eyed her dress, and it really wasn't fair because it was all she had on except for her jewels. She touched her necklace where it dipped between her breasts, and Hades' eyes followed. He seemed to assess her jewels. "And what about jewelry?" Persephone asked. Do you consider that undressing? He took a sip from his drink before answering.
That depends.
On?
I might decide I want to fuck you with that crown on.
She smirked. No one said anything about fucking Lord Hades.
No. Pity.
She leaned over the table, and though she felt shaky inside, she managed in as steady of a voice as possible. I'll accept your bargain. His brows rose, eyes alight.
Confident in your ability to win?
I'm not afraid of you, Hades. Except that she was. Afraid that she wouldn't have the strength to resist him when he came for her. She was very aware of the fluttering low in her belly, reminding her that Hades' lithe fingers had been inside her, that he had drank her passion and need from her body, and he hadn't finished. She needed him to finish. Persephone shivered.
Cold?
He asked as he dealt the first hand. Hot, she cleared her throat. Heat pooled at her core, and suddenly she couldn't get comfortable. She shifted, crossing her legs harder, smiling at Hades, hoping he couldn't tell how terribly nervous she was. Hades laid his cards down, a pair of kings. She clamped her lips together, glaring, before she laid down her cards, already knowing she had lost. A smile tugged at the corners of his lips, and his eyes brightened with lust. He sat back, assessing. After a moment, he said,
I suppose I will take the necklace.
She reached to unclasp it, but he stopped her.
No, let me.
She hesitated, but slowly dropped her hands into her lap. Hades stood and walked to her side, the click of his shoes making her heart race. He gathered her hair into his hands and drew it over her shoulder. When his fingers touched her skin, she inhaled and held her breath until he unclasped the necklace. He let one side drop, and the cool metal fell between her breasts. As he pulled it away, the chain slid along her collarbone, and his lips replaced it.
Still hot?
He asked against her skin. An inferno, she breathed.
I could free you from this hell.
His lips trailed up the column of her neck, and she swallowed hard. We're just getting started, she answered. His breathy laugh was warm against her skin, and she felt cold when he pulled away and returned to his seat to deal another hand. Persephone smiled when their cards were on the table and said, I win. Hades kept his gaze narrowed upon her.
Ask your question, goddess. I am eager to play another hand.
She bet he was. Have you slept with her? Hades' jaw tightened, and after what seemed like an eternity, he answered,
Once.
The word was like a stone dropped right in the pit of her stomach. How long ago?
A very long time ago, Persephone.
She had other questions, but the way he said her name, soft and gentle, like he really regretted having been with Minthy at all, kept her from saying anything else. It wasn't really an option, anyway. He'd already given her two answers. She'd only won the right to one. She swallowed and looked away, surprised when he added,
Are you angry?
She met his gaze. Yes, she admitted, but I don't know why exactly. She thought it might have something to do with the fact that she was not his first, but that was silly and irrational. Hades had existed in this world far longer than she, and to expect him to abstain from pleasure was ridiculous. He stared at her for a moment before dealing another hand. Each snick of the cards made her more and more tense. The air in the room was thick with the deal they'd made. When he won the second round, he requested her earrings. That was slow torture, as he took them out and nibbled her earlobe. She gasped at the scrape of his teeth, clenching the edge of the table to keep from threading her hands through his hair and forcing his lips on hers. When he sat down in front of her again, she was still trying to catch her breath. If Hades won the next round, he'd ask for the only thing she had left, her dress. She'd be naked before him, and she wasn't so sure she could withstand him undressing her. She was spared from finding out when she won. She had another burning question. "Your power of invisibility," she said. "Have you ever used it to spy on me?" Hades seemed both amused and suspicious of her question, but she was asking for a very important reason. She needed to know if he had been in her bedroom that night, or had her desire for him simply caused her to fantasize.
"No," he answered.
She was relieved. She'd been completely consumed by her own pleasure and hadn't thought twice about the appearance of Hades at the end of her bed until after. "And will you promise to never use invisibility to spy on me?" Hades studied her, as if he was trying to figure out why she was asking this of him. Finally, he answered,
"I promise."
As he started to deal another hand, she asked another question. "Why do you let people think such horrible things about you?" He shuffled the cards, and for a moment she thought he might not answer, but then he said,
"I do not control what people think of me."
"But you do nothing to contradict what they say about you," she argued. He raised a brow.
"You think words have meaning?"
She stared at him, confused, and he dealt another hand.
"They are just that, words. Words are used to spin stories and craft lies, and occasionally they are strung together to tell the truth."
"If words hold no weight for you, what does?" Their eyes locked, and something changed in the air between them, something charged and powerful. He approached her, cards in hand, and placed them on the table, a royal flush. Persephone stared at the cards. She had yet to reach for hers, but she didn't need to. There was no doubt in her mind that he had won this round.
"Action, Lady Persephone. Action holds weight for me."
She rose to meet him, and their lips collided. Hades' tongue twined with hers, and his hands gripped her hips. He twisted, sitting down and dragging her into his lap, drawing the straps of her dress down, cupping her breasts, squeezing her nipples until they were taut between his fingers. Persephone gasped and bit down hard on his lip, eliciting a growl that made her shudder. His lips left hers and descended upon her breasts, licking and sucking, grazing each nipple with his teeth. Persephone clung to him, fingers twining in his hair, freeing it from its binding, pulling the strands harder the longer he worked. Then he yanked up her dress and he hauled her onto the table.
"I have thought of you every night since you left me in the bath," he said, spreading her legs wide, pressing in against her. "You left me desperate, swollen with need only for you," he gritted out.
For a moment, she thought he might leave her desperate in return, but then he said,
"But I will be a generous lover."
He lowered and kissed the inner part of her thigh, following with his swirling tongue until he reached her center. Then his hands spread her further, and she felt him there, a testing tongue, then a deeper exploration, and she arched off the table, crying out. She reached for him, wishing to tangle her fingers in his dark hair, but he grabbed her wrists and held them against her sides and spoke against her.
"I said I would be a generous lover, not a kind one."
She writhed against him as he worked, pressing her hips into him just to feel him deeper, and he delivered, releasing her to sink his fingers into her damp center. She couldn't stop the moans from escaping her mouth. He drove her to the edge, and she resisted, wanting to prolong this ecstasy as long as possible. But he grew fierce and wicked, and she called his name over and over again, a chant that matched his strokes until she came apart. She had no time to collect herself. Hades reached for her, dragging her to his mouth. She tasted herself on his lips and reached for the buttons of his shirt. But Hades caught her wrists, stopping her. She was even more confused when he pulled the straps of her dress into place. "What are you doing?" she demanded. He dared to laugh.
patience, darling.
She was anything but patient. The heat between her legs had only been stoked, and she was desperate to be filled. He gathered her into his arms and strolled out of his study into the palace halls.
"Where are we going?" she asked, hands fisted into his shirt.
She was ready to rip it from his body, to see him naked before her, to know him as intimately as he knew her.
"To my chambers," he said.
"And you can't teleport?"
"I'd prefer the whole palace know we aren't meant to be disturbed."
Persephone blushed. She only shared half of that wish, and it was to not be disturbed. He held her close as he walked, and the reality of why they were going to his bedroom descended. There was no returning from this. She'd known that from the beginning. The evening they shared in the pool had been one of the most exhilarating experiences of her life, but this night would be one of the most devastating. Their darkness would come together. After tonight, this god would always be a part of her. After they were inside Hades' chambers, he seemed to sense the change in her thoughts. He lowered her to the ground, keeping her close. She fit against his body perfectly, and she had the fleeting thought that they were always meant to come together like this.
"We don't have to do this," he said.
She reached for the lapels of his jacket and helped him out of it.
"I want you. Be my first. Be my everything."
It was all the encouragement he needed. Hades' lips met hers, softly at first, and then they came together more urgently. He tore away and turned her around, unzipping her dress. The red silk fell away, puddling on the floor at her feet. She still wore the heels, but stood naked before him. Hades groaned and walked around to face her. His shoulders were bunched, his hands fisted, and his jaw clenched, and she knew he was doing everything in his power to maintain control.
"You are beautiful, my darling."
He kissed her again, and Persephone fumbled with his shirt until Hades took over, making quick work of the buttons. Then he reached for her, but she took a step back. For a moment, Hades' eyes darkened, and then Persephone said,
"Drop your glamour."
He looked at her curiously. She shrugged a shoulder. "You wanna fuck me with this crown? I wanna fuck a god." His smirk was devilish, and he answered,
"As you wish."
Hades' glamour evaporated like smoke curling into the air. The black of his eyes melted to an electrifying blue, and two black gazelle horns spiraled out of his head. He seemed bigger than ever, filling the whole space with his dark presence. She had no time to enjoy the look of him, because as soon as his glamour fell, he reached for her and lifted her off the floor, lowering her on the bed. He kissed her lips again, then her neck, trailing his tongue over one nipple and then the other. He stayed there for a while, working each into a tight bud. Persephone tried to reach for the button of his pants, but he pulled away, laughing.
"Eager for me, goddess?"
He kissed down her stomach and then her thighs. He sat back on his knees, and Persephone thought he was going to press his mouth to her core once more. But instead, he stood, removing each of her shoes and then the rest of his clothing. She would never tire of seeing him naked. He was sin and sex, and his smell was all around her, clinging to her hair and to her skin. Her eyes fell to his arousal, thick and swollen. She reached for it, unafraid, unthinking, and as her hands surrounded his hot shaft, he hissed. She liked the sound. She worked him, up and down, from root to tip, and with each groan that escaped his mouth, Persephone grew more confident. She leaned forward and pressed a kiss to the tip of his cock.
"Fuck."
And then she took him into her mouth, and Hades braced himself against her shoulders. She didn't know what to do. She had never done this before, but she liked the taste of salt on his skin. Her teeth grazed the tip of his head as she moved him in and out, and soon his hips moved too, harder and faster, until he pulled her away. Confused, she asked, "Did I do something wrong?" His laugh was dark, his voice husky, his eyes predatory.
No.
His hand gripped the back of her neck, and he kissed her, his tongue reaching deep before he tore away and said,
Tell me you want me.
I want you. She was breathless and desperate. He pushed her back and climbed over her, covering her body with his, stretching out so she felt the press of his erection against her stomach.
Tell me you lied, he said.
I thought words meant nothing. He gave her a bruising kiss, and his touch lifted heat from her skin, searing a path everywhere he went.
Your words matter, he said. Only yours.
She wrapped her legs around his waist and drew him against her heat.
Do you want me to fuck you?
He asked. She nodded.
Tell me, he said. You used words to tell me you didn't want me. Now use words to say you do.
I want you to fuck me, she said. He groaned and kissed her hard before teasing her by moving his cock up and down her damp entrance. She pulled him toward her, urging him inside, and Hades laughed. She growled, frustrated.
Patience, darling. I had to wait for you.
I'm sorry, she said, her voice quiet, sincere. And then he filled her completely. She cried out, head falling back into her pillow. She covered her mouth to keep quiet, but Hades removed her hand, holding her wrists above her.
No, let me hear this, he growled.
He impaled her over and over again. There was nothing slow or gentle about his movements, and with each thrust he spoke, and she cried in ecstasy.
You left me desperate, he said,
pulling out until he was barely inside of her, and then he thrust into her hard.
I have thought about you every night since.
Thrust.
And each time you said you didn't want me, I tasted your lies.
Thrust.
You are mine.
Thrust.
Mine.
He moved deeper and faster, pumping into her. She lost herself in him, and pleasure built in her stomach and exploded. Hades came soon after. She felt him pulse inside of her. And then he withdrew. A gush of warmth spread over her thigh. He collapsed against her, sweat-soaked and breathless. After a moment, he drew back, pressing kisses to her face, her eyes, her cheeks, her lips.
You are a test, goddess, a trial offered to me by the fates.
She couldn't think straight enough to respond. Her legs felt shaky, and she was gloriously exhausted. When Hades moved, she reached for him. No, don't leave. He chuckled, kissing her once more.
I will come back, my darling.
He was gone a moment and returned with a damp cloth. He cleaned her, then moved her, fitting her back against his chest and pulling her close. Wrapped in his warmth, she fell asleep. Sometime later, Persephone woke to Hades grinding into her from behind, his arousal hard and thick against her bottom. As he gripped her hips, he trailed kisses up her neck. Her need for him overpowered her exhaustion, and she turned her head, meeting his soft lips, desperate to taste him again. Hades guided her onto her back and climbed on top of her, kissing her until she was breathless. She tried reaching for him, wishing to twine her fingers into his soft hair, but he restrained her, pinning her wrists over her head. He used the position to his advantage, nibbling her earlobes, kissing down her neck, and grazing her nipples with his teeth. Each sensation drew a breathy moan from Persephone's throat, and the sounds seemed to fuel Hades' lust. He made his way to her thighs and wasted no time parting her legs and lapping at her wet heat. His fingers joined, thrusting into her hard and fast, working her until her moans came in quick succession, until she could hardly take in breath, and when she came, it was with his name on her lips, the only word she'd spoken since this began. Hades said nothing, lost in a haze of want, and rose to cover her once more, positioning himself at her entrance. He sank deep, his thrusts rough and wild. At some point, he lifted her as if she weighed nothing. Sitting back on his heels and gripping her hips, he moved her up and down his shaft. The feel of him inside her was perfection, and she grew hungry to feel him deeper and faster. She wrapped her arms around his neck and moved against him. Their mouths came together, teeth scraping, tongues searching. Together, they rode wave after wave of mindless sensation and came together, collapsing in a heap of limbs and sweat and hard breaths. Before she fell asleep again, she had the fleeting thought that if this was her fate, she would gladly claim it. Chapter 19, A Touch of Power. Persephone woke to find Hades asleep beside her. He lay on his back, black sheets covering the lower half of his body, leaving the contours of his stomach exposed. His hair spilled over his pillow, his jaw covered in stubble, and she longed to reach out and trace his perfect brows, nose, and lips. But she didn't want to wake him, and the move seemed too intimate. She realized that sounded ridiculous, considering what had taken place between them last night. Still, touching him without invitation or initiation seemed like something a lover might do, and Persephone did not feel like Hades' lover. She wasn't even sure she wanted to be a lover. She'd always imagined falling in love as something heady, almost shy. But things with the Lord of the Dead had been anything but shy. Their attraction was carnal and greedy and burning. It stole her breath, crowded her mind, invaded her body. Heat started to build in the pit of her stomach, igniting the desire she'd felt so strongly yesterday. Breathe, she told herself, willing the warmth to dissipate. After a moment, she slipped out of bed, found the black robe Hades had let her borrow when she'd first come to the underworld, and tugged it on. Wandering onto the balcony, she let herself take a deep breath. And in the quiet of the day, the full weight of what she had done with Hades crashed down on her. She had never been so confused or afraid. Confused because her feelings for the god were all tangled up. She was angry with him, mostly because of the contract, but otherwise intrigued. And the way he'd made her feel last night, well, nothing compared. He had worshipped her. He had laid himself bare, admitting his desire for her. Together, they had been vulnerable and senseless and savage. She didn't need to look in the mirror to know that her skin was discolored in all the places Hades had bit and sucked and gripped. He had explored parts of her no one else had. And that was where the fear came in. She was losing herself in this god, in this world beneath her own. Before, when all they'd shared was a moment of weakness in the baths, she might have sworn to stay away and meant it. But if she said it now, it would just be a lie. Whatever was between them, it was powerful. She had felt it the moment she laid eyes on the god, knew it deep in her soul. Every interaction since then had been a desperate attempt to ignore their truth, that they were meant to come together. And Sybil had confirmed that last night. It was destiny, woven by the fates. But Persephone knew there were many such alliances, and being meant for each other didn't mean perfection or even happiness. Sometimes it was chaos and strife, and given how tumultuous her life had been since she met Hades, nothing good would come from their love. Why was she thinking about love? She pushed those thoughts away. This wasn't about love. It was about satisfying the electric attraction that had been building between them since that first night in Nevernight. Now it was done. She wouldn't let herself regret it. Instead, she would embrace it. Hades had made her feel powerful. He had made her feel like the goddess she was supposed to be, and she had enjoyed every bit of it. She took another breath as heat rose from the bottom of her stomach. As she inhaled the crisp underworld air, she felt something different. It was warm. It was a pulse. It was life. It felt distant, like a memory she knew existed but couldn't quite recall. And when it started to fade, she chased it. Descending the steps into the garden, she halted on the black stone her heart racing. She tried to calm herself again, holding her breath until her chest grew tight. Just when she thought she'd lost it, she felt the feather light pulse at the edges of her senses. Magic. It was magic. Her magic. She stepped off the path and wandered into the gardens. Surrounded by roses and peonies, she closed her eyes and breathed deep. The calmer she became, the more life she felt around her. It warmed her skin and soaked deep into her veins, as heady as the lust she felt for Hades.
Are you well?
Persephone's eyes flew open, and she turned to face the god of the dead a few paces behind her. She'd stood beside him often enough, but this morning, in the garden surrounded by flowers and wearing only a wrap around his waist and still in his divine form, he seemed to swallow her vision. Her eyes fell from his face to his chest and down, tracing all the planes of his body she'd touched and tasted last night.
Persephone.
His voice took on a lustful tone, and when she met his gaze again, she knew he was restraining himself. She managed to smile. I'm well, she said. Hades took a breath and approached her, clasping her chin between his fingers. She thought he would kiss her, but instead he asked,
You are not regretting our night together?
No. Her eyes lowered, and she repeated herself quietly. No. Hades' thumb passed over her bottom lip.
I don't think I could handle your regret.
He kissed her. His fingers threaded through her hair and cupped the back of her head, holding her to him. It wasn't long before her robe parted, leaving her most sensitive skin exposed to the morning. Hades' hands trailed down her body, gripping her thighs, and he lifted and thrust it into her. She gasped and held him tightly, moving against him harder and faster, feeling wave after wave of pleasure rush through her body while life fluttered around her. It was intoxicating. Persephone buried her face in the crook of Hades' neck, biting down hard as she shattered in his arms. A growl tore through his throat, and he pumped into her harder until she felt him pulse inside her. He held her a moment while they breathed hard against each other, before he withdrew and helped her to the ground. She held on to him, legs shaky, fearing she might fall. Hades seemed to notice and picked her up, cradling her against him. Persephone closed her eyes. She didn't want him to see what was in them. It was true she didn't regret last night or this morning, but she had questions, not only for him, but for herself. What were they doing? What did this night mean for them, their future, her contract? What would she do the next time things started to go too far? They returned to Hades' room and showered. But when Persephone went to pick up her discarded dress, she frowned. It was far too dressy to wear around the underworld, and she planned to stay a while. Do you have something I can wear? Hades gave her an appraising look.
What you have on will be just fine.
She gave him a pointed look. You'd rather I wander your palace naked, in front of Hermes and Charon? Hades' jaw tightened.
On second thought.
He disappeared and returned in an instant, carrying a length of fabric in a beautiful shade of green.
Will you allow me to dress you?
She swallowed hard. She was getting used to these kinds of words coming out of his mouth, but still it was odd. He was ancient and powerful and gorgeous. He was known for his ruthless assessment of souls and impossible bargains, and yet he was asking to dress her after a night of passionate sex. Would wonders never cease? She nodded, and Hades set to work wrapping the fabric around her body. He took his time, using the task as an excuse to touch and kiss and tease, and by the time he finished, her body was flush. It took everything in her power to let him pull away. She wanted to demand that he finish what he started, but then they would never leave this room. He kissed her before they left his chambers for a beautiful dining room. It was almost a little ridiculous. Several chandeliers cut through the middle of the ceiling,
and a gold coat of arms hung on the wall over an ornate throne-like chair at the end of an ebony banquet table crowded with chairs. It was a banquet hall for more than just her and Hades.
"You actually eat in here?" Persephone asked.
Hades' lips quirked.
"Yes, but not often. I usually take my breakfast to go."
Hades pulled out a chair and helped Persephone sit. Once he took a seat, a couple of nymphs entered the dining hall with trays of fruit, meat, cheese, and bread. Minthy followed them, and as the nymphs placed the food on the table, she came to stand between Persephone and Hades.
"My lord," Minthy said, "you have a full schedule today." "Clear the morning,"
he said without looking at her.
"It's already 11, my lord," Minthy said tightly.
Hades filled his plate, and when he finished, looked at Persephone.
"Are you not hungry, darling?"
Though he had been calling her darling since they met, he'd never said it in front of anyone. A glance at Minthy told her the nymph didn't like it.
"No," she said. "I usually only drink coffee for breakfast."
He stared at her for a moment, and then, with a flick of his wrist, a steaming cup of coffee appeared before her.
"Cream? Sugar?"
"Cream," she smiled. And when it was given, she cupped her hands around the mug. "Thank you."
"What are your plans today?" Hades asked.
It took Persephone a moment to realize he was talking to her.
"Oh, I need to write..."
She stopped abruptly.
"Your article," Hades finished.
She could not tell what he was thinking, but she felt it wasn't good.
"I will be along shortly, Minthy,"
Hades said at length, and Persephone's heart fell.
"Leave us."
"As you wish, my lord."
There was a note of amusement to Minthy's voice that Persephone hated. When they were alone, Hades asked,
"So, you will continue to write about my faults?"
"I don't know what I'm going to write this time," she said.
"You what?"
"I hoped I might be able to interview a few of your souls."
"The ones on your list?"
"I don't want to write about the Olympian Gala or the Halcyon Project," she explained. "All the other newspapers will jump on those stories."
Hades stared at her for a long moment, then wiped his mouth with his napkin, pushed away from the table, and stood, striding toward the exit. Persephone followed.
"I thought we agreed we wouldn't leave each other when we're angry. Didn't you request that we work through it?"
Hades twisted toward her.
"It's just that I'm not particularly excited that my lover is continuing to write about my life."
She blushed at hearing him call her lover. She thought about correcting him, but decided against it.
"It's my assignment. I can't just stop."
"It wouldn't have been your assignment if you had heeded my request."
Persephone crossed her arms over her chest. "You never request anything, Hades. Everything is an order. You ordered me not to write about you. You said there would be consequences."
His face changed then, and the look he gave her was more endearing than angry. It made her heart flutter.
"And yet, you went through with it anyway."
She opened her mouth to deny it, because the reality was that she hadn't. Adonis had. And despite the fact that she really disliked the creep of a mortal, she didn't want Hades to know he was responsible. In truth, she'd rather deal with Adonis herself.
"I should have expected it,"
he said, drawing his finger along her jaw, tipping her head back.
"You are defiant and angry with me."
"I'm not," she started to say, but then Hades' hands cupped her face.
"Shall I remind you that I can taste lies, darling?"
He brushed her bottom lip with his thumb.
"I could spend all day kissing you."
"No one's stopping you," she said, surprised by the words that came out of her mouth. Where was this boldness coming from? But Hades only chuckled and pressed his lips to hers.
Chapter 20, Elysium.
It was an hour or so later when Hades walked Persephone outside. He held her hand, fingers laced, and called a name into the air.
Thanatos!
Persephone was surprised when a god dressed in black appeared before them. He was young, and his hair was white, which made the rest of his features stand out in vivid color, sapphire eyes and blood-red lips. Two short black gayal horns, slightly curved and coming to sharp points, stuck out on the side of his head. Large black wings, heavy and ominous, sprouted from his back.
My lord, my lady.
Thanatos bowed to them.
Thanatos, Lady Persephone has a list of souls she'd like to meet. Would you mind escorting her?
I would be honored, my lord.
Hades looked at her then.
I will leave you in Thanatos's care.
Will I see you later? She asked.
If you wish.
He lifted her hand to his lips. She blushed when Hades kissed her knuckles, which seemed so silly considering all the places those lips had been. Hades must have thought the same thing, because he laughed quietly and vanished. Persephone turned to face Thanatos, meeting those striking blue eyes. So, you're Thanatos, the god smiled.
The very one.
She was struck by how kind and soothing his voice sounded. She instantly felt comfortable with him, and there was a part of her brain that realized it must be one of his gifts, to comfort the mortals whose souls he was about to harvest.
I confess, I have been eager to meet you, Thanatos added. The souls speak well of you.
She smiled. I enjoy being with them. Until I visited Asphodel, I didn't have a very peaceful view of the underworld. His smile was sympathetic, as if he understood.
I imagine so. The upper world has made death evil, and I suppose I cannot blame them.
You're very understanding, she observed.
Well, I do spend a lot of time in the company of mortals, and always in their worst or hardest moments.
She frowned. It seemed sad that this was Thanatos' existence, but the god of death quickly soothed,
Do not mourn for me, my lady. The shadow of death is often a comfort to the dying.
She decided she really liked Thanatos.
Shall we find these souls you wish to speak to?
He asked, quickly changing the subject.
Yes, please.
She handed him the list she'd made her first day at New Athens News when she'd begun her research into Hades. Can you take me to any of these? Thanatos's brows came together as he read the list, and he grimaced. She did not think that was a good sign.
If I may, why these souls?
I believe they all had something in common before they died, a contract with Hades.
They did.
It surprised Persephone that he knew so much.
And you wish to interview them for your paper?
Yes. Persephone found herself answering hesitantly, suddenly unsure. Did Thanatos share Minthi's view of her? The god of death folded the piece of paper and said,
I will take you to them, though I think you will be disappointed.
She didn't have time to ask why, as Thanatos stretched his wings, folded them around her, and teleported. When he released her from his feathery hold, they were at the center of a field. The first thing Persephone noticed was the silence. It was different here, a tangible thing that had weight and pressed against her ears. The grass beneath her feet was golden, and the trees tall and lush, heavy with fruit, completing the image of beauty and peace. Where are we?
These are the Elysium Fields, the list of names you offered. Those souls reside here.
I don't understand. Elysium is paradise. The Elysium Fields were known as the Isle of the Blessed, reserved for heroes and those who lived a pure and righteous life dedicated to the gods. That was far from the truth of the souls on the list she'd given Thanatos. These were people who had struggled in life, who made bad decisions, one of those being a bargain with Hades that ended their life. Thanatos offered her a small smile, as if he understood her confusion.
It is a paradise. It is a sanctuary. It is where the pained come to heal in peace and solitude.
It is where Hades sent the souls on the list you gave once they died.
She looked out at the plain where several souls lingered. They were beautiful phantoms, dressed in white and glowing. But more than that, she knew this place was healing them. Her heart felt lighter, unburdened by the frustration and anger she felt over the last couple of months.
Why? Did he feel guilty?
Thanatos shot her a confused look.
He is the reason they died, she explained. He made a bargain with them, and when they couldn't fulfill it, he took their souls.
Ah, Thanatos said. You misunderstand. Hades does not decide when souls come to the underworld. The fates do.
But he is the lord of the underworld. He makes the contracts.
Hades is the lord of the underworld, but he is not death, nor is he destiny. You may see a bargain with a mortal, but Hades is really bargaining with the fates. He can see the thread of each human's life, knows when their soul is burdened, and wishes to change the trajectory. Sometimes the fates weave a new future, sometimes they cut the thread.
Surely he has influence.
Thanatos shrugged.
It is a balance. We all understand that. Hades cannot save every soul, and not every soul wants to be saved.
She was quiet for a long moment, realizing now that she hadn't really been listening to Hades at all. He had told her before that the fates were involved in his decision-making and that it was a balance, a give and take, yet she hadn't thought twice about his words. She hadn't thought about a lot of things. But that didn't change the fact that he could offer mortals a better path to overcome their struggles. What it did mean was that Hades' intentions were far nobler than anything Persephone had given him credit for.
Why didn't he tell me? She snapped. Why did he let her think those horrible things about him? Did he want her to hate him?
Thanatos kept smiling.
Lord Hades is not in the habit of trying to convince the world he is a good god.
You are the worst sort of god, she'd told him. Her chest tightened at the memory, and she could not reconcile her feelings. While she was relieved Hades was not as monstrous or uncaring as she first believed, why had he drawn her into a contract? What did he see when he looked at her? Thanatos offered his arm to Persephone, and she accepted. They strolled through the field unnoticed. Unlike Asphodel, the souls here were quiet and content to be alone. It didn't even seem like they realized two gods walked among them.
Do they speak? She asked.
Yes, but souls who reside in Elysium must drink from the Lethe. They cannot have memories from their time in the upper world if they are to reincarnate.
How can they heal if they don't possess memory?
No soul has ever healed by dwelling on the past, Thanatos answered.
When do they reincarnate?
When they heal.
And how long does it take for them to heal?
It varies. Months, years, decades. But there is no rush, Thanatos answered. All we have is time.
She supposed that was true of all souls, living or dead.
There are a few souls who will incarnate within the week, Thanatos said. I believe the souls in Asphodel are planning a celebration. You should join them.
What about you? Persephone asked.
He offered a small laugh.
I do not think the souls wish to have their reaper join them for a celebration.
How do you know?
Thanatos opened his mouth, hesitated, then admitted,
I suppose I don't.
I think you should go. We all should, even Hades.
Thanatos' brows rose, and a smile broke out across his face.
You can count on my presence, my lady, though I cannot speak for Lord Hades.
They walked a little while in silence, and then Persephone said,
Hades has done so much for his souls, except live alongside them.
Thanatos did not answer immediately, and Persephone paused, facing the god of death.
When Asphodel celebrated him, he told me he didn't go because he wasn't worthy of their celebration, she added. Why?
Lord Hades carries many burdens, as we all do. The heaviest of them is regret.
Regret for what?
That he was not always so generous.
Persephone let that comment sink in. So Hades regretted his past and therefore refused to celebrate his present? That was ridiculous and damaging. Maybe the reason he never tried to change what others thought of him was because he believed all the things people said. He probably believed her, which is why her words were so important to him.
Come, my lady, Thanatos said. I will show you back to the palace.
As the two walked, she asked, How long has it been since he hosted a party at the palace? Thanatos' brows rose.
I don't know that he ever has.
That was about to change, and so was Hades' opinion of himself. Before Persephone left the underworld, she stopped to let Hecate know her plans, and also of her newfound ability to sense life. Hecate's eyes widened.
You're sure?
She nodded. Can you help me, Hecate? She was glad to sense magic, but she had no idea how to harness it. If she could learn how to use it, and fast, she could fulfill the terms of her contract with Hades.
My dear, Hecate said, of course I'll help you.
Chapter 21, A Touch of Insanity. When Persephone returned home on Sunday, she stayed up late and worked on her article, finishing around 5 o'clock in the morning. She decided to write about the gala and the Halcyon project, and started the article with an apology, writing, I was wrong about the god of the underworld. I accused him of carelessly engaging mortals in bargains that led to their deaths. What I have learned is that these contracts are far more complicated, and the motives far more pure. She stood by her original statement that Hades should offer help in a different manner, but acknowledged that the Halcyon project was, in fact, a direct result of a conversation they'd had, adding, When other gods might retaliate for my candid view of their character, Lord Hades asked questions, listened, and changed. What more could we want from our gods than that? Persephone laughed to herself. Never in her lifetime would she have thought she'd suggest that Hades was the standard by which all other gods should be measured. But the more she learned about him, the more she felt that might be the case. Not that Hades was perfect. In fact, it was his imperfection and willingness to acknowledge it that made him a god unlike any other. You're still in a contract with him, she reminded herself, before she put the Lord of the Underworld on too high a pedestal. After her visit to Elysium and her conversation with Thanatos, she'd wanted to ask Hades so many questions yesterday. Why me? What did you see when you looked at me? What weakness did you want to challenge in me? What part of me were you hoping to save? What destiny did the fates forge for me that you wanted to challenge? But she hadn't gotten the chance. When Hades had returned to the underworld, he'd gathered her into his arms and taken her to bed, shattering all rational thoughts. Coming home had been exactly what she needed. It had given her the distance to remind herself that if she wanted, whatever was between her and Hades to work, the contract had to end. After a couple hours of sleep, Persephone got ready for the day. She had to put in a few hours at her internship and then head to class. While she was in the kitchen making coffee, she heard the front door bang open. I'm back, Lexa called. Persephone smiled and poured her a cup, sliding it across the counter as she came into view. How was your weekend? Lexa beamed. Magical. Persephone snorted, but she could relate. She wondered if she and her best friend had similar experiences. I'm happy for you, Lex. She'd said it before, and she'd say it many times after. Thanks for the coffee. Lexa started toward her room, but paused. Oh, I meant to ask. How was the underworld? Persephone froze. What do you mean? Persephone, I know you left with Hades Saturday night. It's all anyone could talk about. The girl in red, stolen to the underworld. She paled. Did anyone... No one knew it was me, right? Lexa looked a little sympathetic. I mean, Hades had just announced the Halcyon Project, which was inspired by you, so people came to their own conclusions.
Persephone groaned. That's all she needed, more press on her supposed relationship with Hades. A very dark and very loud part of her mind suddenly wondered if Hades' behavior at the gala had been intentional. Was he looking for a way to divert attention from his antics by shining a spotlight on a relationship? And if that were the case, was she just a pawn?
I know you'd rather not acknowledge whatever's going on between you and Hades, Lexa added, but I'm your best friend. You can tell me anything. You know that, right?
I know, I know. I really didn't intend to leave with him. I was going to call a cab, and then...
Her voice trailed away. He swept you off your feet?
Lexa waggled her brows, and Persephone couldn't help but laugh.
Just tell me one thing. Did he kiss you?
Persephone blushed and admitted, yes.
Lexa squealed, oh my gods, Persephone! You have to tell me everything!
Persephone looked at the clock. I have to go. Lunch with Sybil?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Despite leaving her apartment late, Persephone took her time walking to work, reveling in the feel of life around her. She was still in disbelief. Her magic had surfaced, and it had awakened in the underworld. She still had no idea what to do with it. She didn't know how to harness what she felt or use it to create illusions, but she planned to meet Hecate this evening for lessons. When she arrived at the Acropolis, Dimitri asked to see her. He offered a few edits to her article, and before she sat down to work on them,